Welcome back to the show, November 24th, 2002. This is the News for Jews, current events around the world from a rabbinical pinnacle. Our top story, what else could it be? Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, the Muslims are going nuts. What the hell is wrong with these people? The hummus really hit the fan on Thursday when a Palestinian militant killed 11 people and injured 49 others when he blew himself up on a crowded Jerusalem bus. It was morning rush hour. The bus was filled with commuters and school kids. Witnesses said they heard children screaming, "Mama, Mama," from the wreckage. Reuters reported that the militant group Hamas, of course, took credit for the carnage. Speculation is they're stepping up terror attacks to make Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and his hardline policies look bad before the general elections happening January 28th. Running against Sharon's Likud party is Amram Mitzna, the mayor of Haifa, heading the Labor Party. Now, Labor almost chose former Defense Minister Benjamin Ben Eliezer, but he was seen as being too pro-Sharon, too hard-line, and Labor wanted to be more left-wing. So, the elections will be a real referendum on whether the people of Israel believe Sharon should stay the course, or if they should just throw up a white flag and withdraw unilaterally from the occupied territories. It's assumed that giving back all the land will finally bring peace to the region. As if. Let me tell you something. There was terrorism before 1967, and there'll be terrorism after 2002. But if they want to try something else, if they want to give the Arabs a chance, here is my suggestion. Go. Give back the land. All the occupied territories, Gaza, the whole schmear. It's all sand and camel piss anyway. That's all the bastards have done with it for 35 years. So, let them have it. Everything except East Jerusalem for now. Make the borders secure and see if these so-called peace-loving Islamics can govern themselves. If the terrorism stops, if the Jews stop dying, Mazel Tov. We'll all dance around, we'll shake hands, and in 10 years we'll talk about giving up East Jerusalem. However, if there's any terrorism or military action against Israel, Israel reserves the right to strike back. But not just the way they've been doing, but in a punitive way that would shock even the most militant Al-Qaeda operative. They want Hebron, give them Hebron. But if some burqa-wearing bitch gets on a bus in Tel Aviv and blows it up, we don't isolate Yasser Arafat in his office building and keep him there. We blow up the office building with him in it, and the building next to it, and the building next to that, and behind it, and the building down the block. And if they still don't get the message, if they have their land back, and yet still there's more terrorism, a few airplanes strafing Arab markets with machine gun fire should get the point across. When 150, 200 Arabs die for every Israeli being killed, maybe then they'll think twice about martyrdom. And every time there's a terrorist attack, resulting in loss of life or limb, that pushes back the timetable for getting back East Jerusalem another 2 years. So, if there are 6 terrorist attacks in a given year, that's a dozen extra years before we even hit the negotiating table. So, that is my offer, take it or leave it. Call it tough love, call it tough hate, but these people are out of control. Look what happened in Nigeria. A stupid beauty pageant caused 4 days of rioting and left more than 200 people dead. Why? Because the devout Muslims read in a newspaper a reporter defending the pageant, saying that if Muhammad were around, quote, he would probably have chosen a wife from one of the contestants. That's it. For this, scores of Muslim youth finished their prayers on Friday, then they went around setting cars on fire and stoning and beating the crap out of Christians. To be fair, it should be noted that Christian vigilante groups started running around counterattacking Muslims. Pretty soon, churches and mosques were burning all over the northern city of Kaduna and the capital city, Abuja. According to Newsday, Nigerian officials initially saw the pageant as a source of good PR for the country, a way of attracting tourists. After all, Abuja is the Baltimore of the Middle East. But the whole thing backfired so much, officials are moving the beauty contest to London, where the Muslims are too busy selling fast food curry to do any real damage. Well, except to people's colons. But let's be clear about this. Nigeria has 120 million people in it. Well, minus 200. and it's not as if they're all Muslim. It's about half and half Muslim and Christian. So Christians have just as much right to look at boobs as Muslims have to look away. If you log on to the official Miss World website, www.missworld.org, not only do you get to read a letter by the Nigerian Minister of Foreign Affairs where he condemns stoning, but you can see and vote on who you want to be Miss World. Now let me tell you something. There are some hot women here, of all races, creeds, and colors. For example, get a load of the melons on Miss Bosnia-Herzegovina. Not only would Muhammad have married her, he'd have done a threesome with her and Miss Holland. And he would have gotten Jesus on the phone and said, "Look, Mary's cute, but you gotta check out Miss Algeria. Her hobbies are reading books, volleyball, basketball, and swallowing." But no, the Muslims can't let anybody live and let live. They just caught the guy who masterminded the bombing in that nightclub in Bali that killed 200 people. He's an Indonesian who trained with militants in Afghanistan, and he has ties to Southeast Asia. Meanwhile, President Bush keeps pressuring Iraq to confess whether it has any biological and chemical weapons. If Iraq swears that it has no weapons, America will attack because they're obviously lying. If Iraq does list its illegal arsenal, America will attack because they're dangerous weapons in dangerous hands. If Iraq allows UN weapon inspectors to tour its facilities, America will attack because they're not showing all the really secret hiding places. No, of course it's not fair. But considering what's going on, I really do think it's time for militant, fanatical Muslims all over the world to be disarmed. I don't mean taking away their weapons, I mean cutting their arms off. And it's not so much punitive as it is practical. They'd spend so much time between prayer sessions trying to get their shoes back on, they wouldn't have time for any hanky-panky. And, speaking of hanky-panky, Miss Israel, you have my number. If my wife picks up, tell her you're Mrs. Elfenbein from the Couples Club, and you'll reach me at the office. But seriously, if you think I'm a dirty old man, how about these people in the news? First, you had the counselor convicted of sexual abuse at the Harlem Boys Choir. Then Jeffrey Jones, the guy who played the dean in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he has been charged with possessing child pornography and taking nudie pictures of a 14-year-old boy. And in the same sting operation, worst of all, a Jew, Paul Rubens, yes, Pee-wee Herman, was arrested for possessing kiddie porn. All three men are in their 50s, and they're all facing jail time for their jailbait time. I do feel a little sorry for Paul Rubens, real name Paul Rubenfeld. First, years ago, he was arrested in public in a dirty movie theater for doing what people do in a dirty movie theater. Now they've arrested him for looking at pornography in his own home. I think the next step is the FBI will wire his brain so that every time he even thinks about dirtiness, the police will show up at his door with handcuffs and a warrant. You can just see that, right? Pee-wee is at home, he's planning his next career move, whatever that is. Let's see, I had some momentum going there with playing the drug dealer in that Johnny Depp movie. Maybe if my agent can lend me a guest shot on The Sopranos, maybe a pilot on Comedy Central for this new character I'm working on. Alright, well, worst comes to worst, I could play that weirdo again on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah Michelle Gellar, nice half-Jewish girl, she was really good to work with, great sense of humor, nice pair of boobs. No, wait, don't go there. She's a nice girl. And that girl playing Willow, that Allison Hannigan, lot of fun too. Good people. And you know, they really should do more scenes together, Allison and Sarah Michelle. Like that kissing scene they did. They could be in the cafeteria after a food fight. So they're both soaking wet and their nipples are all pointy. And they start taking their clothes off and touching each other's boobs and... Paul Rubens, Mr. Paul Rubens, this is the police, open up! Oi, wait, I'm coming! Just a minute! Oi, poor Pee-wee. Such a brilliant man, so much funny material. But behind the zipper, there's a dark side. Which is why I'd like to dedicate this little poem to Paul Rubens. Oi, pity the poor Pee-wee Herman, arrested for moaning and squirming. For he masturbated to pictures X-rated, 'cause he has no girl to put sperm in. And to think they picked that anti-Semite Amiri Baraka to be poet laureate when I'm right here creating gems like that. In other news for Jews, Recently released files obtained under the Freedom of Information Act show that the FBI hounded chess master Bobby Fischer for years under the assumption that he or his mother was a communist spy. According to the Associated Press, the FBI was especially interested in Bobby Fischer's 1958 trip to Russia. An agent posed as a student journalist to interview producers of the television show I've Got a Secret, which featured Fischer before he left. Informants at the tournament said Fischer behaved badly, and at one point called his mother to complain, "It's no good here." Maybe there's no direct causality here, but this hounding by the federal government may give some clue why Fischer, one of the great chess players of the modern era, also turned out a bissel meshuggah, throwing tantrums, making impossible demands, railing against the United States. What do you expect? He was paranoid. So, after winning the chess crown in 1972, he quit 3 years later. Still, there's no excuse for the anti-Semitism he has been spouting for 2 decades. In recent radio interviews, Fischer praised the September 11th terrorist attacks, saying America should be, quote, wiped out. And even though his mother was Jewish, he's described Jews as, quote, thieving, lying bastards. Mr. Fischer, you are the bastard. I'd like to take a bishop with a razor on the end of it, shove it up your tuchus, and then move it diagonally across all your vital organs. And then I take a couple of pawns, black or white, it doesn't matter, fry them in a skillet, and while they're still piping hot, push them down your throat one by one. And finally, I take 2 rooks, pour a little hydrochloric acid on the tops of them, and then thrust them vertically into your eye sockets. All right, I have issues, but he's a putz. In sad news, someone who wasn't a jerk, Israeli diplomat Abba Iban, died November 17th, pardon me, at age 87. He was a crucial ambassador to the UN and to the U.S. during the formative years of Yisroel, as well as through the 4 Arab Wars of 1948, 56, 67, and 73. It was Iban who coined the phrase that the Palestinians, quote, never lose a chance to miss an opportunity. After serving in the British Army during World War II, Iban quit to work diplomatically for Israel's independence. For obvious reason, he started as an intellectual utopian, but became more of a realist as the years went by. Still, he was always more popular overseas than he was at home, where they thought of him as kind of a snob, a dove, and a more talker than a doer. But he remained a world-famous figurehead, best known in recent years for helping write and narrate the video series Heritage, Civilization, and the Jews, which is unwatchable, because he had the most nasal voice I've ever heard on any human being anywhere. Abba Iban, you are a good guy, I hope you go to heaven, but whatever you do, I hope the first thing Hashem hangs you is a Sudafed and a pocket inhaler. Finally, in news for Jews, as we said, this Friday night is the first night of Hanukkah, where we celebrate the victory of Jews over Greek and Syrian forces in the 2nd century. We light candles on the menorah for 8 days to commemorate the 8 straight days that a little bit of oil burned night after night in the desecrated Jerusalem temple. It burned long enough for the Hebrews to make new oil for the candelabra, oil that wasn't made of pork or tallow or otherwise defiled. And if you think there's no difference between one kind of oil and another, ask George Bush why he's bombing Iraq and not Saudi Arabia. And that's News for Jews for this edition of News Gone By, November 24th, 2002. Send in your comments, opinions, and Miss World votes to Dave's Gone By, or email dave@davesgoneby@aol.com. Unless otherwise requested, all comments and questions may be read on the air. Name withheld upon request if you're a coward. That's davesgoneby@aol.com. If you send potato latkes, remember that the applesauce has to be in a separate sealed container, or else it gets all over the mailman and he yells at me and he throws my magazines in the bushes. What do you expect? He's a Lutheran. We'll be back after this.